Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack offered a formal apology yesterday to USDA official Shirley Sherrod. She was pressured to resign after a video was released of her making supposedly racially tinged remarks, and it was made public.
This is a good woman. She's been put through hell. And I ask for Shirley's forgiveness, and she was gracious enough to extend it to me. And for that, I am thankful.
The day she resigned, Sherrod began appearing on all kinds of news shows, explaining that her remarks were taken out of context. And in the video clip that went viral on the internet, she said she'd resisted helping make a white farmer in the 1980s because of his race. But as we later learned, the story was actually much deeper, more complicated than that. We talked to Sherrod in the Takeaway yesterday, and that interview and the coverage that we've had has sparked a flood of comments from our listeners, many of whom were outraged by how quickly everybody jumped to conclusions. Doug from Detroit wrote to thetakeaway.org, "I'm amazed when a story like this comes out about how many folks are appalled by how quickly those involved rush to judgment, then in the same breath rush to their own judgments. Until we realize we are a nation of gossipers, we aren't going to have the conversations we need to. How about today each of us takes a break from passing along any information about another that we cannot confirm firsthand? Wouldn't that be pleasant? Wouldn't that be a start?" We're joined now by Stephen L. Carter. He is the William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Law at Yale Law School and the author of a number of popular novels, including The Emperor of Ocean Park and Jericho's Fall, which is coming out in paperback this summer. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So as the story was developing, many people said to them, explained what happened by saying, "We were fooled by the initial reporting." The NAACP said they were snookered, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack admitted he didn't take the time that he should have to figure out what was going on. Here he is speaking. He said, I should have waited, and I didn't. And then he apologized. You don't buy that argument.
Well, I think that for people to say they were fooled by the video is a little bit like me blaming global warming on my neighbor's lawnmower. The problem is that we rush to judgment about everything. We don't ever want to take the time anymore to figure out what the truth is, to figure out what the facts are, and to weigh our judgment. And if something happens like this videotape, or it could be something from the left or something from the right, something happens like this videotape, if a politician or the White House were to say, "We're studying it, we're looking it over," the whole media would be jumping up and down and screaming, you know what they're doing? They're covering it up. They're being indecisive. We need to learn again that it takes time to make good decisions. The faster you make a decision, the greater the chance the decision is going to be bad.
Okay, but we also get criticism, and sometimes well-founded, that people drag their feet. There was a lot of criticism over President Bush's reaction to Katrina, that it was too slow of a response. There was much criticism to the Gulf oil leak over that slow response. How does a person know when something is an emergency and requires immediate action? How does a president judge that?
Well, certainly we could agree, I think, that a hurricane is a disaster. Certainly we can agree that a gigantic oil spill is a disaster. Sometimes you have crises that need immediate action, but you have to recognize that when you demand immediate action of people, there's a fair chance they're going to make mistakes because they're acting so fast. And that's true whether it's a corporation or the president or a next-door neighbor or ourselves. And we have to accept that we're going to make a degree of error, or we have to give ourselves more time to make a decision. So when this tape came out, the right thing to do for the media especially, but also for those of us in the public, would have been to say, you know, we don't like the way this tape looks. Let's look into it and see if we can figure out what actually happened. The more that we're willing to do that, the more that we don't get caught up in the 24-hour news cycle, the more we'll be able to maintain a democracy of reasoning, thinking people, which is what we have an obligation to be.
Okay, but, you know, that's a really difficult proposition. I mean, we're talking about a society in which people are constantly checking their emails, checking their BlackBerries, looking at iPod. They have the little news flashing in many elevators. How are you going to get it change that? I mean, that's an entire culture.
It is an entire culture, but either we want to be a democracy or we don't. That is, either we want to be a bunch of people yelling and screaming every few minutes for whatever's the latest political fad, or we want to be serious adults and we want to act like grown-ups in a democracy. Look, the Pearl Harbor attack took place in 1941, one of the great disasters this country's ever suffered. It took 20 years to figure out for sure what had gone wrong and who was to blame, and we took the time that was necessary. We responded to the attack, but we didn't run deciding who had messed up, who was to blame for what had gone wrong, until we had all the facts. And that took a very long time, and we were willing to do that. If we want to be serious about a democracy, we'll be willing to take the time.
Okay. I noticed that you also told one of our producers you felt that we rushed to pass the financial reform package that President Obama just signed into law, and yet this is coming out of a number of criticisms from the public against the president, saying he was dragging his feet.
Well, the public can be wrong, again, about things like that. My point about the financial reform package was simple, that it may be a great package, we'll see, but Congress had appointed a commission to figure out what went wrong, and we haven't even had the commission report yet, so we don't know if we're fixing the right things.
Okay, so Stephen Carter, what's your advice to everyone to break their addiction?
I hate to say it, but I think we just need to slow down a little bit and not rush to judgment on things.
Stephen Carter, the William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Law at Yale Law School and the author of 11 novels, including The Emperor of Ocean Park and Jericho's Fall. There's a ton of stories that we're talking about today that are really about this oversimplification. And we're in the middle of this project with your contributions. We're surveying political bumper stickers. We want you to take a look at whatever political bumper stickers you see this morning and tell us about the one that really sticks out for you. Stephen Newberry, South Carolina, texted us, "Oh, bummer," was something that he saw. And then a listener in Brooklyn says they saw this: "The truth is out there. It's just not indexed very well."
Well, that's nerdy.
You can make up your... Maybe it was a librarian. You can add your own slogan, make one up. Just text us the word "take," followed by the slogan that you've seen. You can send that all to 69866 and then head over to thetakeaway.org and weigh in on the slogan that we've already gotten.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.